Like I mentioned today, we're going to talk about morals, kind of as in continuation from our last lesson. And again, I just kind of wanted to start off this morning with thinking about morals and just kind of putting this in context to some Bible stories. Now, when I really thought about morals and I thought about all of the things that involved and what I could actually put into this lesson, there is a lot. Just about every Bible story or anything comes down to morals or a series of morals. I am going to read Mark 7:20 through 23 here in a minute, but I did kind of want to define what I wanted to talk about this morning. I am going to be talking about morals, but I'm not necessarily going to be talking about the moral code of a society. I just wanted to kind of break that down just as an aside. Of course, a moral code of a society is the different societies have different moral codes. The moral code of a society determines what is right and what is wrong within that society. We're going to be talking about Christianity this morning, and I'm not really going to be talking about the individual, let's say, code of conduct of a country. This is something that's been of interest of mine because I have a lot of international students, and they have a lot of different moral codes or moral conduct. Than we would here in the States. But I just wanted to mention that today because there are moral questions, but some of the things that I'd like to talk about today all evolve around Christianity. So when I was thinking about moral codes and moral pieces, again, I had Mark 7:20 through 23, and I like to read through that this morning. So Mark 7:20 through 23, we'll get started with this morning. Because I was thinking about morals and what we might define as morals, and I kind of consider this almost the biblical definition of morals. Before I give the, like, Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of morals, I thought I would read Mark 7:20 through 23. And he said, "What comes out of a man that defines a man? For from within, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wicked deceits, lawlessness, an evil eye, blaspheming pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defines a man." So when I was thinking about morals, these are things that we can talk about defines who we are. If we do these things or we don't do these things, it can define who we are. It almost follows exactly along the lines of what we would consider morals. And I am missing a slide. So I'll just read this real quick. The definition of a moral is concerned with the principles of right and wrong behavior and the goodness and badness of human character. So I'll read that real quick. One more time. Oh, there it is. Thanks, Nick. Morals, concerned with the principles of the right and the wrong behavior and the goodness or badness of human character. Holding or manifesting high principles or proper conduct. Morals, right? Well, what exactly is proper conduct and what exactly is human character? And that's what I was thinking about that verse that I had just read because it aligns to those pieces. Because we know that things can affect us and affect our Christianity, even with the people that we may meet or hang out with, because evil company corrupts good habits. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, it says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." So we know that evil company can corrupt the good things that we may be working on as Christians. Well, I really started thinking about this. Think about this morning, about our habits and what we can do or how we form a habit. And I was thinking this morning, whether this is true or not, I almost think that bad habits are a lot easier than good habits, right? Because if you create a bad habit, normally sometimes it's easier to do, right? It's easier to form a bad habit than it is to form a good habit. Because it takes a little while for a good habit to become automatic. I was reading this yesterday. Because behavior to become automatic, let's say if you're trying to create a habit, a good habit, it can take anywhere from 18 to 254 days for a person to form a new habit, and on average 66 days for a new behavior to become automatic. So when I was thinking about if you're hanging around people that you shouldn't or whatever, it actually would become a habit after 66 days, just generally speaking, to create or form that habit for it to be routine. Because if we know if we're hanging out with good people and good spiritual people, just like the church, this is why I believe the church was set up, we would form those good habits. Because essentially it does come down to something as simple as what we would consider the golden rule. Because in Matthew 7 and 12, it talks about, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, also to them. For this is the law and of the prophets. So I know we normally consider that the golden rule, but I also think a lot of this is morals. If we follow this moral principle, we would also follow this principle here in Matthew 7 and 12. Because all we essentially have to do is have others do unto us as we do to them, and back and forth. Because we shouldn't be ashamed of doing anything that God wants us to do. And then that would come from 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. So we know that our moral code should follow the Bible, and we should not be ashamed to do it in the first place. Because that's what we have been set up to follow. And also, being followers of Christ and being Christians, some of the things we need to think about is what happens when other people do things to us. Because we're also mentioned to forgive them of their trespasses. Again, kind of following this moral code that's been set up for us in Matthew 6, 14 through 15. And that says, starting here in 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, we saw this as kind of a moral issue, this moral situation that actually came up. Now, we see this here in Matthew 6, but in Matthew 18, Peter asks a question along these same lines about forgiving someone of their trespasses. So, that's mentioned again, in Matthew 18. So we talk about giving forgiveness, but Peter asks this question here in Matthew 18, 21 through 22. And that says, then Peter came and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive them up to seven times? It's like he's trying to give this number. He's trying to think of a number, how many times I have to forgive this person that may have done wrong to me. He's trying to come up with something. Well, Jesus' answer may not be really what Peter was expecting, because Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And again, he's not just giving a number that we need to have a tally mark. He's just saying that this needs to be a large number, just an infinite number. Because that's kind of our moral code as Christians, is forgiveness. It's something, a practice that we should follow. And this morning, I kind of devised this lesson into two parts. This first part, just talking about morals and just some of the moral principles that's mentioned here in Scripture. But how often do we hear this term, the moral of the story? And that's kind of the second phase of this lesson, is the moral of the story. And I apologize, I have contacts in, I'm just trying them out, and every few minutes I'm readjusting my glasses. I've wore glasses for 20 years, so I keep reaching up to try to adjust my glasses. So if you see me do that, I'm just messing with nothing. So the moral of the story, that's kind of what we're focused on this morning, because we saw these morals that were laid out for us. So, if we use the word moral as a noun, it slightly has a different definition according to the dictionary. The definition of morals, when used as a noun, says a lesson, especially one concerning what is right or prudent, that can be devised from a story, a piece of information, or an experience. Well, I really started thinking, again, this morning I was thinking about what stories and everything that that we could have in a Bible, and it's really the entire Bible. When I think of this definition, it's almost the definition of the Bible. Because again, a lesson, especially one concerning what is right or prudent, that can be devised from a story, a piece of information, or experience. Because that's what we have. We have a lot of stories in the Bible that we can pull away these moral and ethical, that was last Sunday, situations. Now, I really, really sat down and thought about what stories I wanted to pull out from this to kind of give these moral situations. And I'm sure right now in your head, I hope you're thinking, wow, I wonder if Kyle's going to use this one or that one. Because it's almost infinite about the stories in the Bible that we could use to make a moral suggestion. But I kind of wanted to use one this morning that may not be on the top of your mind, but I probably, as soon as I say it, that it'll come into mind. But I read the book of Esther yesterday. And I really started thinking about what pieces are in here that really relate back to our morals. Well, we don't have enough time this morning to read the book of Esther, so I'm going to paraphrase a few chapters here and just really quickly just remind us about what happened in Esther. Now, in Esther, we have the story of Esther and her uncle Mordecai, and we know that in this story, the king did not find favor with the queen because an event happened and he was not pleased with it. So he basically called for another queen. And he asked for all of the women to be presented to him. And one in particular found favor with him in chapter 3. And it was Esther. Now, during this story, there was a person named Haman that really did not like what Mordecai was doing or who he was. So he created a petition to go against the Jews, so Esther had enough influence and was at the right place at the right time with the right mindset, with the right words, to overturn that petition that was presented by Haman and signed by the king. Now, this isn't something that commonly happened for the king to sign a petition then go back on it. So this was quite an incredible move. But at the same time in this story, Haman has gallows made for Mordecai. But in the end, Haman is hung on the gallows that he made for Mordecai. So I really enjoyed reading this story. It really made me think about the morals and the moral situation that Esther was thrown into. She was thrown into this situation where she actually fasted and was bothered by the situation that she was in of about making the right decisions and all of these things that went on. But really what I was thinking is we don't know what God's plans are, but we need to trust in Him. Because Esther was at the right place at the right time. And then with that, I was thinking of Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. It says, "Trust the Lord with all your heart. And lead not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledging Him, and He shall direct your path." Now, I thought of that proverb, and I thought of this moral with a lot of the people in the Bible. I was thinking of Abraham and Sarah about having a child and all of the things that they did not understand, that they may have tried to been doing along their own way. But really, it was God's plan that made things happen. So we know that this moral part of the story is Esther stayed with what she needed to say, and she stayed true to her family and her bloodline. But also, I wanted to point out something else in this story. Like earlier, I mentioned Haman, and I'd like to just read one verse just from Esther. Because I kept reading over this thinking, really, is this really what happened? Was this Haman's problem with Mordecai? And here in Esther 5, starting in verse 9, it says, "So Haman went out that day joyfully and with a glad heart." Now he's talking about being at this feast with the king. "But when Haman saw Mordecai at the king's gate, and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai." So just because Mordecai didn't shake and tremble before him, because Haman thought that he was this great person, that's what led to the series of events with creating the gallows and creating this decree about the Jews. So I was thinking with this story, one of the morals might be careful how you treat others. You might be building your own gallows. And it was just something with the verses that I read up before I started talking about the moral of the story, about how we are to treat others. Because Haman did not treat Mordecai correctly. Because in Ephesians 4:31 it says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." This is what was happening with Haman. "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." And in 1 Thessalonians 1:8, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we need to be careful with this. Because we saw what happened to Haman. And we know what Esther did. Again, I don't know if it was one of those stories that you would have thought of when I came up with the moral of the story. Again, this can be placed anywhere. I just felt like that was a good one because there are multiple parts in that story that we can think, wow, I don't want to be like that. I want to be more like this. But there's even small stories in the Bible. Very small, short parables, because every parable is a moral story. I just thought of one I would pick out. One particular one. One really small story. One small parable that's only a couple verses. And I was thinking of this story of losing one coin. Now this is found in Luke 8. We're going to read Luke 15. Sorry, I said Luke 8. I was looking at the verse. Luke 15. So we're in Luke chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. Because this is this parable about losing a coin. Now, Jesus gives his own moral of the story here in verse 10. But let's read 8 through 9. Just so we get the sense of what this story is. "Or that woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbor and others, saying, 'Rejoice with me, I have found the piece which I have lost.'" He found that one coin that was lost. And she's so excited that she found it, she knows where it is. And I don't know if anybody's ever lost their wallet or something, right? And then you find it, you're super excited that it wasn't stolen or didn't go somewhere. But that worries you. That worries you. Even though we know we could cancel our credit cards and get a new driver's license and all that kind of stuff, it still worries you, it bothers you that that event happened. So this woman here lost this coin, and of course Jesus gives us the moral of this story. And the moral of the story is given in verse 10. It says, "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So we know that when somebody comes into repentance, that even the angels have joy over that one repentance. And again, we may not think of this very much, especially if we were to maybe have a bunch of coins. And I was thinking this to, like, let's say if you're rolling a whole bunch of pennies and, right, you need 100 pennies. And let's say you need one more penny to complete this roll. And you're like, you know what, I'm going to search this house over to find one penny so I can be done with this roll of pennies. I'm saying that because I've done it before. I'm like, I'm going to search everywhere because I'm tired of dealing with all these pennies. I just need one more to complete this roll of pennies. I'm done with it. I've got all of these things I got to worry about. I'm going to try to take care of this penny. Now, we know that Franklin said a penny saved is a penny earned. But you know, today, Well, you know, when we think of a penny, it's like, wow, you know, you really can't get all that much with a penny. And there's a lot of sayings and things that go along with pennies. Emma's learning about pennies today with her school. And we were talking about, you know, the importance of a penny and with Lincoln and everything that's on a penny. But I really started thinking about a penny to kind of go along with this lesson. And kind of going along with a lady that found, you know, that missed coin. Because I wasn't thinking just finding a coin. It's not necessarily finding that penny that was on the ground or picking up and thinking you're lucky. Because technically you are lucky, but it's not the penny. But it's what it says. That's the most important part of finding a coin. Right? Because isn't this the whole moral of the whole story of everything that I'm talking about this morning? Because in God we trust. Essentially, that is the moral of the story. In God we trust. So what is the moral to life's story? Just like if we found that lost coin, even though it doesn't have a lot of monetary value on it, what it reminds us of is that we trust in God. And I really thought about what verse I was going to use to close today. And I was really thinking of what is the moral to life story. And I can't help but use this verse, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Everything. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. I'd like to thank everybody today for letting me present this lesson on morals. And I was thinking about keeping His commandments. This is man's all. And as always, we like to extend the invitation because keeping His commandments is a very important part. So if you would like to have any prayers for the church or you would like to be baptized, please come forward as we stand and sing the closing song.